You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. And this episode is brought to you in partnership with Volac International. In these podcasts, we explore a huge range of crucial issues and exciting developments in the food industry with brilliant guests drawn from all areas of expertise. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a TV presenter and writer, and I specialize in food and science. This podcast is all about dairy and whey components as immunonutrients for active nutrition. And we're joined by Dr. Elisa Glover, nutrition specialist at Volac International. Hello, Elisa. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing really well, thanks. How are you?
Well, yeah, really good. Now, first of all, let's just understand the landscape here. So, what do Volac do for anyone who's not familiar with your work?
Well, in a nutshell, we are the leading manufacturer of whey proteins under the Volactive name. And if you want more information about that, go to volactive.com. We've historically supplied the sports nutrition industry with whey protein, but we're branching out and working with a wide variety of customers nowadays.
So what are the main markets that you target?
Well, the main markets would be, I guess you could broadly classify them as performance nutrition. So as I said, the traditional sports nutrition category, but also this emerging or broader group of consumers that could be referred to as active nutrition. That will span a much wider range of ages and definitions of what you would consider activity. But what they'd all have in common is an interest in regular exercise and healthier eating.
So it's a bit of a tangent from performance nutrition. And is it a much broader market that you're looking at there with active nutrition?
Yes, it would be. So the age would be from younger consumers up through those at the older end of the spectrum. But as I said, they're concerned about better for you options and products with nutritional benefits. And they're just looking to lead a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. So be a little bit better. Now, How does Volac go about targeting these markets and targeting these emerging trends?
Well, I guess one of the main trends that's coming out of the sports nutrition market into active nutrition is protein, and maybe even into the mainstream. So, we can target these markets because this is our heartland, protein, and we offer ingredients that enable our customers to fortify products with protein and make those contains and high in protein type claims.
The big shift in the entire world has obviously been COVID-19, and it's changed, fundamentally changed, I would say, consumer attitudes to health and their perspective on what they're eating and how they're eating it. Now, immunity is a sudden explosion in interest in this area. It's a big trend. It's driving lots of new product development. Is it true that protein can have some impact on immunity?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'll go back. Yes, it's definitely shifted consumer attitudes to health. And according to data that we've seen from a global study carried out by FMCG gurus, and that was over the pandemic. It was over this past spring and summer. Even consumers who considered themselves to be in good health reported that they'd become more conscious about their health and more concerned, and specifically around immunity. The intention that came out of that was to eat and drink more healthily. So alongside measures you might expect, like increasing fruit intake, they reported intending to increase protein intake. And many consumers associate, and this is a global study, many consumers associated protein with boosting the immune system. So yeah, is this perception that protein is good for the immune system, Is that based on anything? Well, yeah, it is. I mean, the components of the immune system are made of protein. So all the receptors on the immune cells and all the various proteins in the cells and antibodies and other proteins that will play a role in the defense. So it's certainly true that protein, dietary protein, is required for synthesizing or manufacturing the proteins of the immune system. And during infection, the body will take those amino acids for building those proteins from other parts of the body, like muscle, in order to provide the building blocks to synthesize the immune system proteins.
I know this is a slightly strange question, but what is protein?
Yeah, just to go back a few steps, I guess. Protein is, at its most basic, a chain of amino acids. So it will be a combination of the various amino acids that the body can either make or gets through the diet, and it puts them together to make the different proteins of the body. So on the one hand, we're talking about protein in the diet, and we need that in order to make the proteins in our body.
So does it matter what type of protein is consumed or what type of protein is created?
Well, as I kind of referred to it or touched on it, in order to make those body proteins, including the immune system proteins, you do need to get intake of the 9 essential amino acids through the diet, because those are the amino acids. They're called essential because you can't make them. The body can make quite a few of the other amino acids that it incorporates into proteins, but it can't make these 9. So proteins that contain all 9 of these amino acids in sufficient amounts will be referred to as high quality protein. So you'll hear that being used in discussions about protein and dietary protein. And generally, as a rule, animal proteins tend to be good sources of high quality protein. Interestingly, one exception to this would be collagen, which is technically not a complete or high quality protein. It's limited in some of the amino acids. So you do hear a lot about collagen these days, especially in sports nutrition or maybe in the beauty area, beauty from within. But it's technically not considered a high quality protein. And now plant proteins, on the other hand, can be limited in certain amino acids, essential amino acids as well. And you'd have to get into combining them or taking them at certain levels in order to reach the same amounts of the essential amino acids.
So it gives a little bit of detail on the amino acid profile of whey.
The amino acid profile of whey. Now it's again, looking at the idea of essential amino acids, it's particularly good as a high quality protein source because it's rich in those 9 essential amino acids. And it's you could say it's an efficient source of them, because whey products tend to be quite high protein. There'll be quite large amounts of it. So you wouldn't need to take very much in order to get a good amount of protein in a dose. And it's also very rapidly digested and absorbed, so it gets the amino acids into you quite quickly. Now, it's particularly high in the 3 branch chain amino acids, or BCAAs, which are also essential amino acids. So that those are leucine, isoleucine, and valine. And leucine will be well known for its process. It's being the key amino acid to trigger muscle protein synthesis, and that's why whey's been historically so popular for muscle building, in the weightlifting and in the bodybuilding kind of industries. But scientifically, it is actually effective for promoting muscle protein synthesis.
And what about its efficacy in relation to immunity?
Yeah, so the branched chain amino acids have also been shown to play a role in supporting immune cell proliferation and the protein synthesis rates of immune cells, which can be quite high as well. So not only is it good, whey's good for your muscle, but it seems to be useful for your immune system as well from the BCAA perspective. Also, there are other amino acids in whey that can be supportive of the immune system. Glutamine is quite important. It can be used as a fuel. It can also provide the backbones for nucleotides for cells like lymphocytes. And branched chain amino acids, interestingly, can provide the precursors for glutamine, and whey also contains glutamine itself. So that's another amino acid. While it's not essential, it seems to play a role in the immune system. Studies that have supplemented with BCAA or glutamine after intense prolonged exercise reported fewer infections. Of the milk proteins, whey is actually, because there's the two main fractions in milk. There's the casein fraction, which ends up being used for cheese. And then there's what's left over, which is whey. It's the other part of milk. And whey is actually the richest source of this, of sulfur containing amino acids. So methionine and cysteine. So methionine is one of the essential amino acids, whereas cysteine is part of the main intracellular antioxidant glutathione. Methionine can also be converted to cysteine. So these two are important sulfur-containing amino acids, which can play a potential role. Now, glutathione itself plays a role in many processes in the immune system. So activating T lymphocytes and leukocytes and cell proliferation and cytokine production. So it would seem to be a molecule that you would want to target and sustain levels of. Infections and exercise can increase oxidative stress. So there again, you'd want to maintain glutathione levels in order to counteract those effects. And it's been found that supplementing cell culture in mice with glutathione actually inhibited the influenza virus. So protein nutrition is critical for maintaining glutathione levels, and whey's been shown to actually increase glutathione levels in a supplementation study. So that would be a natural way to increase glutathione.
So what kinds of bioactive proteins are in whey that play a role also in immunity?
So in terms of the bioactive proteins in whey, one of the main groups or classes is immunoglobulins or antibodies. And they're present in whey or milk in general. And immunoglobulins are what you'd call the specific part of one of the specific parts of the immune system, which lets it recognize antigens of foreign microbes very specifically. They're in milk to provide passive immunity to the calf, but they can also have potential benefits for humans. In one study, a pool of antibodies was found that inhibits rotavirus. That can cause illness, gastrointestinal illness. And that was found in whey. And immunoglobulins could also have effects on inflammation by binding bacteria and one of the bacterial products, lipopolysaccharide or LPS, in the gut and keep that from interacting with the intestinal epithelium. Now, another immunomodulatory protein is lactoferrin, and that's present in milk. And it's not specific like the way immunoglobulins are. It's more of a multifunctional protein that that binds iron, which in turn can prevent or restrict bacterial growth. And it's got binding sites that let it interact with cells in the gut. And it can also bind LPS and actually even viral membranes. So together, it's thought that these immunoglobulins and lactoferrin might be acting synergistically to modify immune activation in the body and in the gut.
There seem to be a huge amount of different immunonutrient kind of capabilities here. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Now, are there any other components in whey or dairy that might have beneficial effects on immune function and gut health?
Well, another interesting element of dairy is something known as the milk fat globule membrane, or the MFGM. And that's made up of lipids and proteins. It surrounds the triglyceride droplets in milk. The lipids in the membrane are, some of them are polar lipids like phospho and sphingolipids. Formula for, in infants that has been supplemented with MFGM has been found to support immune health. So where the immune system's developing in babies. But, there is a study that showed that enriching a milk protein concentrate with MFGM also had some benefits when participants were challenged with E. coli, and it seemed to reduce some of the ill effects of that challenge in terms of GI complaints and stool frequency and things like that. So that suggests that it could also improve the resistance to pathogens like E. coli in adults as well. Separate from proteins and lipids, whey contains bioavailable B12 and selenium, and those are both micronutrients that have EFSA-approved claims for normal immune function. And our products, Ultra Whey 90 and Ultra Whey Extra Pure WPIs, are sources of both. And actually, in studies comparing whey supplementation to soy or collagen, found that whey increased B12 status in I think it was elderly participants, whereas collagen and soy did not. So that's an important point to make when looking at protein sources and choosing what you want to take on a daily basis. Keep it, bearing that in mind, it can be a source of these important micronutrients. And interestingly, suboptimal consumption of B12 and low selenium levels have both been found to be linked to increased mortality with COVID-19 infection. So that's interesting, with all the emphasis on vitamin D and its links at the moment, that there seem to be other potential other effects through some of these other micronutrients.
Now, looking at this from the perspective of brands and manufacturers, how can they take advantage of these immunity aspects of whey protein?
That's a good point, actually. And going back to the report I was referring to, the FMCG Gurus report, over the next year, consumers will be seeking out products that are high in functional ingredients positioned around boosting immune health, provided they've got credible claims and benefits. So that's something that brands need to be keeping an eye on. But then at the same time, there are other issues, like the impulse purchase occasion has disappeared during the course of the pandemic while we were under lockdown. So it's challenging, but it's important for brands to keep track of this and continue to stay relevant to their consumer. And we as Volactive are working closely with our customers to ensure that they're able to maximize the product offerings, highlighting whatever claims they can from our existing portfolios or introducing new ingredients that have proven customer demand, like I mentioned earlier, like protein, high protein or source of protein kind of claims.
And what about other health benefits of whey protein, maybe other sort of tangential issues that end up helping the immune system?
There are indirect ways the immune system can be affected. For example, lack of sleep or stress and your state of energy balance, they can all feed into the immune system through the stress axis. So increasing stress hormones like catecholamines and glucocorticoids. For example, there's a whey protein, alpha-lactalbumin, which is relatively high in tryptophan. And that's been used in studies where it was given prior to going to sleep, and compared to casein, again, the other major milk protein. When participants were tested in the morning, after on a computer test, it was found to improve alertness, early morning alertness, and performance on that test. And they thought that this could be due to improved sleep. The same sort of product was also found to improve performance on a memory scanning task in participants prone to stress compared to casein drinks. So that's another way whey could be helping indirectly support the immune system. Also, when you're in an energy deficit, either intentional or not, you're at risk of losing lean and fat mass. And at the same time, during infections, as I mentioned, muscle protein can be broken down to provide those amino acids again and fuel to fight off the infection. So if you're looking to be, while you're on a hypoenergetic diet and you catch an infection that could exacerbate your lean mass or your muscle loss. There again, increasing the protein intake during such a time can be beneficial. There was actually a study in which young men were on an energy deficit and they were training intensely. One group was given whey supplements to increase the protein in their diet. And they actually gained lean mass and lost more fat mass than the control group during over that same period. So it's definitely good to look at your protein intake during periods like that for the benefits that it can provide.
And how big a driver are all these different aspects, especially the immune system aspects, when it comes to choosing a protein? And was this something that was already happening before COVID anyway?
Well, I think people in the sports nutrition community being very conscious about what they're taking in and not wanting to miss training days, for example, they're going to be concerned about their immunity and wanting to be able to fend off infections anyway. So I think there would have been within, again, that committed performance nutrition category, quite a bit of awareness. And their protein supplementation is pretty common. Whey protein use would be very common. So I think there, maybe not so much, maybe there was amongst knowledgeable consumers that was already happening. But I think this is now with COVID, there's the opportunity for, again, a broader demographic or a broader range of consumers to consider looking at whey for all the benefits that it can potentially offer, possibly, you know, in comparison to some of the plant proteins that wouldn't be necessarily providing B12 and selenium naturally, unless they're, you know, they're fortified and that's that sort of thing.
And are you seeing an increase in new product development which specifically aims to target immunonutrients for active nutrition?
There is an increase in product development, whether it's actually using protein specifically or it's focusing on the micronutrients, that remains to be seen. I think there's quite a bit of opportunity within the protein space specifically to educate consumers and launch products, since they are looking out for protein. As I said, consumers are looking to increase protein intake as part of their strategy to live more healthily and to build up their immune systems and their general health.
Well, thank you so much. That was Dr. Elisa Glover, nutrition specialist at Volac International. And you've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters. And this episode brought in partnership with Volac International. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from salmon farm sustainability to apprenticeships. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Goodbye. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.